Nice to see you all out again tonight.
I'll just open with a word of prayer. Father, we just come before you tonight. Thank you that we can proclaim the good news of salvation, that Jesus alone can save, and do just ask for your help. And I think I can speak for David and myself that we need your help tonight to clearly present the gospel, to just share that Jesus died for me, for those that aren't saved here tonight. So we just ask for your help. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and for his death at Calvary. In his name we pray. Amen. Sometimes I wonder how to convey the need of salvation, to get that you need to be saved. Because you can kind of over... It's not a physical need. I was thinking to linking it to the oil change. I need an oil change on my truck. It says I need an oil change. But I could go for, well, until the engine quit, but I could go for another 50,000 kilometers before I change the oil. There's not a dire need there. But the truck is saying, hey, you need to change your oil. But I can overlook that. And you may say, well, that's kind of weird, but I was thinking, I think that's kind of like salvation. There's no physical pain to you right now. There's no electric shock or anything like that that's saying, hey, you need to get saved, other than someone telling you. And until you realize, hey, I'm on my way to hell because I'm a sinner, not because God hates you. In fact, he loves you very, very much. But I wonder, do you know your need tonight? Because if you do, that's a very good thing. That's not something to be ashamed of. If you know that, oh, I'm a sinner, that's great. It's really good you're here. I mean, you don't have to be here, but we are preaching the gospel tonight, the good news of salvation. And if you are in that position where you're wanting to be saved, you say, hey, I'm a sinner, I want to go to heaven, that is great. So with the help of God, I'd like to try and tell a story and bring that into the gospel. So I was thinking, we're here on an island and you got to get off if you want to go anywhere. Some people don't want to get off. And that made me think of the bridge. And actually last Sunday, for some reason, this message popped into my mind. So I was thinking about some history and I got looking at the bridge, the Confederation Bridge. And it's pretty interesting. PEI joined the Confederation of Canada in 1873. And since they joined the Confederation, the government officials here needed to get to Ottawa. So you got to get across that strait. It's roughly 13 kilometers. So they put out two ferries that would go across. And that was their link to the rest of Canada. And as time went on, more need arose, or not inventions, but ingenuity. As new things came along, they thought about building a tunnel underneath Northumberland Strait and having railroad tracks go under there. And that didn't work out. The currents are so strong underneath there. I was actually reading that it would be able to move a boulder the size of the house, would just sweep it away. So if they tried to fill in the Northumberland Strait to have an actual causeway go across, it would just completely get wiped out every single time. So they come up with all these ideas, and as we know, landed on the bridge. And you think, how does that have to do with the gospel? Well, I'm going to try and tie this all together. It took, they started construction October 1993 by gathering all their supplies, bringing everything in close to where they're going to start. And the project name, one of the projects name, this is going to be called the Fixed Link. The Fixed Link to the rest of Canada. Over the time, it started in October 1993. It opened May 31st, 1997. So that's 4 years, 3.5 years. It took them 3.5 years. They estimated the cost of building that bridge was $1.3 billion. It's 12.9 kilometers long, and they have piles that go all the way down to the sea floor. The tallest part of the bridge is 60 meters high, and that's where all the ships can go through, and it's on average 40 meters high across the whole width of the bridge. They put the abutments up to keep the wind down and keep you from, this is Wikipedia, keep people from looking over and falling over. People aren't that smart. It's the longest bridge over ice-covered waters in the world. And I didn't look into it too much, but the way the icebreakers work on that is it kind of lifts the ice up and it shatters it. And it's very interesting. It's a great engineering feat. It took over 5,000 people in total to complete that bridge. Different managers, different construction workers, welders. So you can take 5,000 odd humans, and it's not an exact number, but take 5,000 times that by the 3.5 years, and you'll get how many man hours it took to get that bridge. As we all very well know, it costs $50.25 to get across that bridge, going out. So that you're free coming in, but if you want to leave, you got to pay. I thought this is kind of neat. If you look along the bridge, you see all the little drains. There's over 7,000 on that bridge to keep all the rain, snow, and ice, whatever, flowing off of that. This project, it took years to finish. No one could just come up and say, you know what? Oh, you want a bridge? Done. Got a bridge. Now we're connected to the rest of Canada. Again, thousands of workers. It's not free. You must pay to leave. There's three ways to leave the island, but it is the most used way. I got thinking about that, and I wonder if that is a proper representation of a need that is physical to you. If you want to leave the island, more than likely or not, you have to take the bridge. I don't think any of us are going to have our bags packed and swim and try and get around. You're more than likely going to take that bridge. That's just a fact. That same fact is with salvation. If you want to go to heaven, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for his sins. John chapter 14 and verse 6, we can turn there. If you have a Bible, John chapter 14 and verse 6, we'll read verse 5. I think it's funny when preachers do this, but I'm doing it. We'll read verse 5 for context. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, this is Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In my brain, that works a lot like a bridge. You need a way to get from point A to point B. In Luke chapter 16, verse 24, it's a story about a man, Lazarus, who died and went to Abraham's bosom, and a rich man who died and went in hell. And he's asking for a drop of water to cool his tongue. And the response is, between you and us, there is a great gulf fixed. And that's you tonight. There's not a physical... You can't see this great divide between you and God, but your sin is that divide. And John 14 and 6, Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sometimes I visual, but in my brain, I'm thinking right now, okay, you have your sin and you have heaven. And Jesus is saying, I am the way. Come on, like his, you could think of his arms as a bridge. We look at a cross. His arms are spread wide. Oftentimes, we say, it's like he's saying, come. Take it as another visual, like a bridge from point A to point B. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It costs nothing. Again, like I said, the bridge here, $50. It wasn't that when I first moved here, but it's a lot of money. And for interest's sake, the government will take ownership of that in 2032. So it might be free then. But right now, it costs, every time you want to go, $50. If you want to go to heaven, nothing. That work has been paid for. Complete. Nothing else you can do. There's nothing you could do or that you need to do to get to heaven. Acts chapter 16. Let's turn there. This is a very straightforward encounter that Paul and Silas had with a jailer. Paul and Silas were in a terrible prison. And, we'll just read a little bit of the story. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I'm not saying that you need to come trembling, but this jailer, he realized his need. It was his first thing that he did. When he heard that what Paul said, "Do yourself no harm," that was his only thing on his mind, right to them. He knew his need. And he said to them, verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's how many words is in that question? Seven words. What must I do to be saved? A very short sentence. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I don't know how to make that any clearer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That song we were singing tonight, that's kind of why I wanted to give it out, because to me it's so simple. Jesus died for me. Acts here is saying, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This certainly was not in a gospel meeting like this tonight. It wasn't in a nice church building. It wasn't in even somebody's house. This was in a dungeon, for the lack of better words. And this man, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words are still true right now, tonight, to you. What must you do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I did. I don't know. Hey, you know what? It's all right. I think every time I speak, I almost bring this in. But John 3:36 is what I read in my bed in the middle of a week. I just couldn't fall asleep, and I asked, is it really that simple? Open my Bible. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As we look at that bridge, there's always maintenance going on. It's PEI, there's lots of road maintenance, but they have maintenance crews working on that bridge all the time. It's not perfect. There's many imperfections in that. And you can contrast that to the Lord Jesus. He is perfect. The only Son of God, made perfect. He is the only one that could pay for sins because he was perfect. He had no sin, no fault whatsoever. And that's why you can't pay for your sin tonight either. God looks at you not in a hateful way, but you are full of sin and he hates sin. And it's not because you might say, "Well, I never chose to sin." Sorry, you're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You might think, "I am not as bad as I was reading a book about this guy named Joseph Paul. Can't think of his last name. But what a terrible man. Murdered over 30 people. And people would compare themselves to people like that. "Oh, I'm not as bad as he is." But you know what the thing is? If you followed all the Ten Commandments, which you could never do, no one can do that. But even if your worst sin was, again, stealing the cookie from the cookie jar, that's enough to keep you out of heaven. But the great news is that Jesus died for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a free gift, and it never changes. So that's a pretty simple, short message tonight. But maybe you think about that tonight every time you want to leave the island. Yes, you can leave on a plane, and you can leave on a boat. We've done all three. There's three ways you can leave the island. There's one way you can get into heaven. So maybe when you think about that, when you think about leaving this island, going somewhere, maybe it'll prick your mind that Jesus died for me. Because it's true. He paid all the debt. He paid your way to heaven. It's free tonight. And he's just waiting for you to say, hey, thank you very much. Jesus died for me. So as the meeting continues, as David comes up, maybe you think about that. Jesus died for me.